Chapter 3. Typhus. The next day, the teacher shouted at the girl I had spoken to. "Burns, stand up straight! Hold your head up!" she cried. "You dirty girl! You didn't clean your nails this morning!" Then she hit her on the back with a stick. I wondered why the girl didn't explain that she hadn't been able to clean her nails because the water was frozen. Burns didn't cry, and the expression on her face didn't change. But I noticed a tear on her cheek. Later that day, I saw her again. "What's your first name?" I asked. "Helen," she replied. "I'm Helen Burns." "Why is that teacher so cruel to you?" I asked. "What have you done wrong? You seem like a good girl to me." "I'm careless and forget the rules," she said. "The teachers are only doing their job." Well, I couldn't bear it. "I hate people who hate me," I said. Helen asked me to tell her about my life, and she listened patiently. Then she said quietly, "Love your enemies, Jane. Be kind even to people you hate." "What? Love Mrs. Reed or her son, John? Never," I thought. Just then, a girl came in and said, "Helen Burns, tidy your drawer now or I'll tell the teacher to look at it." Helen sighed and left the room immediately. One afternoon, Mr. Brocklehurst came into the classroom to speak to Miss Temple. He looked at the pupils and stared at one girl for a long time. "Miss Temple, why do you let this girl curl her hair?" he asked angrily. "She didn't curl it," Miss Temple said quietly. "Julia's hair curls naturally."
"So cut it off,"
he shouted. Then he made all the girls turn round so he could cut their hair.
"You must cut all these ponytails off," he ordered.
Miss Temple tried to disagree, but he told her to be silent.
"My job is to teach girls to serve God," he declared, "not to let them look fashionable. They must be good and humble."
He took a large pair of scissors and cut all our ponytails off. We look terrible now. At that moment, Mr. Brocklehurst's wife and daughters entered. They wore expensive clothes and their hair was curled in a very elaborate way. Suddenly, my slate fell onto the floor with a loud crash. Everyone turned and stared at me.
"Ah, the new girl," said Mr. Brocklehurst. "I see she's careless too."
"It was an accident, sir," said Miss Temple quickly.
"Bring that stool," ordered Mr. Brocklehurst, "and put the girl on it." "Children," he continued, "this new girl is a liar. Don't play with her. Teachers, watch her. She must stand on this stool for half an hour and no one can speak to her for the rest of the day." I stood on the stool, feeling humiliated and desperate. After half an hour, I got down, sat on the floor of the classroom and began to cry inconsolably. At that moment, Helen Burns brought me some coffee. She sat next to me. "Try and drink," she said. But I couldn't drink anything and continued crying. "Everyone hates me and I'm all alone," I sobbed.
"Hush, Jane," said Helen quietly. "Don't be sad. I don't hate you."
She put her arms round me and we sat together until Miss Temple came and sat with us. "Jane," she said, "why did Mr. Brocklehurst call you a liar?" I told her the story of my life at Gateshead and about Dr. Lloyd's visit. When I had finished, Miss Temple looked at me quietly and said, "I'll write to Dr. Lloyd. If he confirms your story, I'll tell everyone you're innocent." Miss Temple put her arm round me and kept me by her side. I was happy to be there. I liked her pleasant face and shining hair. She spoke to Helen kindly too. "How are you tonight, Helen?" she asked. "I'm a little better," answered Helen. Miss Temple rang her bell, and Barbara, the servant, came in. "Please bring some tea and toast for these two girls," she said. After tea, we sat by the fire and talked about many interesting things. When the bell rang for bedtime, Miss Temple kissed us both and said gently, "Good night, dear girls." A week later, Miss Temple received a letter from Dr. Lloyd and knew that I had told the truth and I wasn't a liar. She told the other teachers and pupils, and they were all happy for me. From that day on, I studied hard. In a few weeks, the teachers put me in a higher class, and after a few months, I started to learn French and art. Spring arrived in April, and the snow began to melt. We played outside in the garden and went for walks every Thursday. I found lots of flowers by the road. Everything looked different to when I first saw Lowood in December. April turned into May, with blue skies and warm sunshine. I was starting to feel happy with my new life. But then, at the end of May, typhus fever arrived at Lowood. 45 girls were ill at the same time. There were no classes because the teachers were busy looking after the sick girls. So we went wherever we liked. There was more food, as the sick children couldn't eat very much. Often, the teachers gave us bread and cheese, or a big piece of pie, and we took it into the forest and ate it there. Inside Lowood, there was fear and illness, but outside, the sun was shining and the garden was full of flowers. My favourite place was near the little river. I used to sit there with a new friend, Mary Ann Wilson. She was older than me and had seen a lot of the world. She liked to tell stories, and I liked to listen. But where was Helen Burns? Why didn't I spend my days with her? Helen was ill, but she wasn't with the other sick girls. I thought this meant she wasn't very sick and would get better soon. However, one evening in June, I saw the doctor's pony outside Lowood. I had a bad feeling and went to speak to the nurse. "How is Helen Burns?" I asked. "She's very ill," the nurse replied. "The doctor says she won't be with us much longer." "Where is she?" I asked, very concerned. "Can I go and speak to her?" "She's in Miss Temple's room," the nurse answered. "But you can't visit her. You might get ill too." That night, I couldn't sleep. I left my dormitory and went to find Helen in Miss Temple's room. I had to see her before she died. The door was open and I went to her bed. "Helen," I whispered softly, "are you awake?" "Is it you, Jane?" she asked in her gentle voice. She looked very calm and I felt relieved. "I came to see you, Helen," I said. "I couldn't sleep and wanted to talk to you." "Have you come to say goodbye?" Helen asked. "Why? Are you going home?" I asked. "Yes, Jane," she said. "I'm going to my final home." "Oh no, Helen!" I cried. "Jane," she said, "come and lie down next to me." I did so. "I'm so comfortable," she said. "I'd like to go to sleep, but don't leave me, Jane." "I'll never leave you," I said. "Sleep well, dear Helen." "Good night, Jane," said my friend. I woke up the next morning alone in Helen's bed. When Miss Temple had come to the room at dawn, she had found us together. I was asleep, and Helen Burns was dead.